In your bulletin, you'll find a sermon outline that looks like you got somebody else's used copy, right? Yeah, what's up with that? Like everybody got somebody's used copy. That would be mine. This is going to be mostly me talking to myself today, and weird stuff takes place in here. You don't really want to know what happens all the time, but I want to give you, I said last time that, you know, we're going to get back to what we do, which is just, we're working through the New Testament chronologically, starting with the birth and life of Jesus Christ, moving into the book of Acts, the early church, and then breaking off of the book of Acts to look at letters in the context of the flow and history of the early church, just living with the early church day by day by day, verse by verse by verse, and applying it to our lives today. That's what I love doing. That's our game plan. It's still our game plan. And I said, unless something big or catastrophic happens, which is evidently one of those possibilities during this last year, we're going to be back to that today. Well, I'm going to kick that down the road a week or two. I apologize. You know, we're elders. We oversee the life of our people. And some today are going to be fairly oblivious or really more spiritual than I am and go, God's got it. We're good. Like, what are we even dealing with this stuff for? God's got it all, you know. God bless you if that's you. Just if that's you, look at today as just a great manual, an introduction of a great manual for the basic Christian life, okay? Just take it that way. You know, don't let us alarm you in any way at all. Just, you know, that's great. Others are going to be, well, David said a little while ago, you know, there's some serious concern. Yeah, we maybe don't have your faith, but we do have faith that God is sovereign and God does got this thing, you know, whatever this thing is, personally and nationally and everything in between. Having said that, you go through Scripture, Old Testament and New Testament alike, and the godly who believed in the sovereignty of God and the control of God, you'll still see a passion and a deep concern. They're okay, but they're really concerned for their neighbors, their nation, for the globe, you know? And so there's that mixture that we live with. So take this as you need to take it, depending on your perspective. Again, if you're going, everything's good, just take this as a great introduction to a great guide for Christianity 101 in the year 2021. If you're deeply concerned about what's happening, I'm going to be talking about, my big word today is trend. Okay, it's not an event here, it's not what happened on Wednesday, it's not, you know, this riot, that riot, this politician, this president, that it's trends, all right? And we can't know, and I'm not coming up prophetically, matter of fact, I'm just going to say this at the very front end, Peter in this is going to condemn hypocrisy. What I'm talking about, and I'm going to look mostly at the camera, some of y'all have been tuning in to false prophets. You need to be big boys and girls. You've got to grab a hold of this. You've been tuning in to false prophets. Preachers can get stuff wrong. We can all get stuff wrong. But if I ever walk up here, I say, God said, this is what's going to happen in the future. In the Old Testament, that means in all love for your society, I'm to be taken out and killed. You don't get a second chance. This is serious stuff. Okay? So you can say, I think the trend, and I'm going to be talking about trends. None of this is prophetic. But some of y'all have been listening, and I'm ready to vomit. I spent some time yesterday, a colossal waste of my time, listening to some, in context, listening to some of these prophets prophesying dates about COVID, prophesying that President Trump was going to eventually get in, and these are the things that are going to happen in his second term. All of this nonsense, doing it like peacocks, You need to turn them off and never look at false prophets again. I'm just going to say it. You got to turn them off. I know this is a great show. I know they look really more spiritual than everybody else. They're not listening to God. Now, if you got a prophet that's nailed stuff specifically, not generalities, but specifically nailed stuff, please turn me on to them. Be great to have a prophet I can listen to. But if they got something wrong, especially the two things, COVID and President Trump thing, turn them off. You're giving them ratings, it's giving them prestige, it's giving them money, it's propping up this nonsense that hurts our witness to the nation. I'm trying not to beat around the bush here. This is going to be probably this week, next week. You know, whatever your group is, it's probably going to get bashed. I can't help it. Look, we got, and there's a time for that. There's a time to just bring stuff to light and call it what it is. First and foremost, in my life, in this church is not perfect. My life's not perfect. The Republican Party, not quite perfect. Democratic Party, a little, maybe not quite perfect. The independents, you know, we're all of us got stuff. You know, how do we grade stuff in this church? You look through Scripture and you go, what are the themes? What when it comes to morality and the plumb lines of life and society, this is right, this is up and down, this is wrong. What do we turn to? All of Scripture, the Old Testament prophets, every principle and law in the New Testament as well, all of it points back to the 10, which points back to the 2. Love God, love one another. From that, you get the first 4, love God, you get the first 4 about our relationship with God as a society, and then you get the second 6, which is love one another. The Bible's that simple. And so this is never going to be about my whims, this is my little pet thing. This, you know, it's all about what does the Bible emphasize, not whether I like it or not. And so just quickly, if you're a guest here, here's where my brain's coming from. I think I represent most of us. When it comes to the 10 and looking at society and our lives, but when it comes to social trends, number one concern is the first 4. No other gods, this is the 10 Commandments. No other gods written in stone by God to all nations, to the entire globe. No other gods, no idols, no name in vain. Remember the Sabbath. It's really important to worship God. All right? Those are the first 4. Those are way more important than the second 6. The second 6 are built on the first 4. All right? And what's trending, I think, in our nation, and we seem to be losing any kind of check and balance on this, is the God of the Bible, the God of the 10, and if you have a God that's not upholding his 10, you got a false God. If you have a God that's not upholding these 10, you have a false God, an idol. Okay? And it's not a light thing with God. God's not going, oh well. Yeah, this is the focus, this is heavy stuff. And so God is talking about a cancel culture. God is being canceled. That's the trend. And a God in our image is being erected and fortified, and he produces a morality for society in our image. He applauds us doing what we want to do. Our self-autonomy is what he's all about, our happiness and our self-autonomy. And that's what's coming up. And I don't know the actual stat, but I've read several different stats on this of reasonable organizations that normally think things through and do their polling pretty well. And depends on who you read, 75 to 85% of our, maybe it might be more, of our congressmen, both houses, say they believe in God, not just God, but, you know, the biblical God. It doesn't seem to be evident. But that's the association. And, you know, we just, hey, hooray, we just, and I'm going to be careful here, but I got to say it. I'm not seeing this guy become president one day, but I'm seeing him become the spiritual leader of Congress. He's got a doctorate degree. He's a pastor, and he's a wonderful individual that has an idol he's bringing with him. You can go to his website and read about it. It's not me. And so you're going to hear a lot more from this guy. He's going to be the guy representing God. And it's a sad state of affairs. It's not just one guy. It's just that's the direction that he's going to be the new high priest. That's the direction we're going. And again, that's not prophecy. Just kind of going, what's trending right now? You watch. All right? Probably that's what's going to be taking place. Anyway, we're going to a God made in our image. And that's a heavy thing for any society, especially one that's been entrusted with all that we've been entrusted with. That's the most grievous thing, God being canceled. Second thing is commandment number 5, honor your father and your mother, listed before murder and the rest. What's God saying? The second weighty thing in a society is family. And the biblical family's being canceled and being replaced. And children are going to be and are being adopted by these families. Imagine your little grandson, granddaughter, something happening to the family, whatever, adopted by somebody who's not a mom and a dad. Going into a completely corrupt family structure. LGBTQ plus whatever. You know, and they're people made in the image of God that we love deeply, that we invite to come and be part of the gathering here. But what they're doing is evil, it's wrong, and it's not that they're doing it behind closed doors, it's just them. Children are being adopted, and that's going to be promoted more and more. I want you to think about that. And that's a trend. It appears, and we're going to hear a lot about that in the upcoming year or two, probably. And then the third is commandment number 6, murder. And there's a lot of ways government can approve of murder and commit murder. Capital punishment is not murder. That person's forfeited their life in the eyes of the judiciary. But to come out and take somebody's life that is innocent of a crime warranting the death penalty, that is murder. A lot of different ways a government can do that. The most numerous and absolutely most egregious way that's happening in America is obviously the killing of babies. That's being now promoted, and it doesn't look like there's any safeguards in regard to this come this year. That's being promoted all 9 months. Now, I'm just talking about the science. How can you tell me scientifically you can take a baby of viability and say, well, there's more important things, so we're going to okay the murder of this child? That's appalling. And yet that's happening. Don't accept it. Okay, so when we're all going to join together, we're going to do new things, we're going to be progressive, everything's going to work together, we're going to honor to the hilt, we're going to obey every way we can, there's going to be an honorable attitude among this group, but we're not going to agree on that stuff. That's evil, it's satanic, it's wrong, and it's so destructive for our nation. And so I'm just saying, that's the way things are trending. So if you're a guest here, and this is blowing you away, I apologize, but not really. You need to be woke up to what's going on. I'm talking about being woke, okay? You can be woke to whatever thing's going on here on the planet. You need to get woke to God, who's given a 10 commandments that are really easy to understand to every nation, and we are accountable. God continues to show us grace. We're grateful for that, but don't presume on that grace tomorrow. All right. So these are trends, and there's a great alarm that we're not, you know, we're at peace with a sovereign God, but there's a great concern. So just think three words on the introduction to this in regard to the 10. God being canceled, the family being canceled, babies being canceled. Let's try it again. God's being canceled, the family is being canceled, babies are being canceled. Now you tell me what possible good direction a nation with that kind of core is going to produce. And we could go on, but that's far enough for today. If you want to hear more about that, listen to the sermons that were prior to the election, okay? And we go into a lot more detail. That's good enough for the introduction. I just want you, if you're a guest here, I want you to know where I'm coming from, okay? And so you look at the trends, and with the election, recent election, two of them, both of them, you know, the one that's last, that we got the results this last week and then prior. And you said there's no more checks and balances against those three huge trends. You got to be like me to some degree and say, we got to do something. Right? Who said that in their household to a friend? You look at this and you go, David, we got to do something. Because we're guys, and guys are wired to fix it. We got to do something. And we look back at each other, but what? And people, you know, all kinds of groups have said that have, you know, both on the right side and on the left side and the middle side and the, you know, the Hispanic and the black and the white and the, you know, everybody else. You know, all kinds of groups in regard to their life experience have made that statement over this last year. We got to do something. And they've come to their conclusions, which are everything from writing and blogging to praying to rallying to rioting. Both sides. And right now, we're sitting together and we're going, we got to do something. But the question is, what? And so we approach this thing not as so much as Americans, not with cultural likes and dislikes and culturally I like this and that. You know, that's not where we're coming from. We're citizens of heaven, we're ambassadors of heaven, we grade everything by heaven, including us, ourselves, first and foremost, and so we're impartial as much as we can be. You know, we're not pro-Republican, we're not actually, we are pro-Republican, we're pro-Democrat, we're pro-independent, we're pro-everybody, we love everybody, want the best for everybody. But we're not going to prop up what's wrong with the Republican platform, what's wrong with the Democratic platform, or anybody else's platform. And that's what the prophets did in the Old Testament. When they, if you read the book of Kings, this was good about this guy, this was bad about this guy. And even the ones in the party of David, the party of the Messiah. Right? We got, I mean, if you're writing the, you know, about the party of the Messiah, you know, everybody in his party has to be good. No, the Bible, even the party of the Messiah, this is wrong, this is evil, this is good. Okay? If that's the case, how much more the Republican Party, Democrat Party, whatever other party? Now, I am taking way too long on this intro. All right, so we got to do something. We join with so many in America, but now we're saying that from as citizens of heaven, and so what we do depends on, here's a big word, our epistemology, our source of truth. What's going to guide you into what you do? You know, you got to do something, and that's true. But what's going to guide you? And I'm going to suggest to you that what needs to guide you is the manual given to us from heaven. It's the referee's book. Shoot straight plumb lines, call stuff what it is in our lives first and foremost, and in society. It judges every culture, it judges every party, every idea, whatever is judged by the plumb line of the Word of God. And it's one thing to take the entire Bible and say, we believe it all, let's apply all of it, and that we need to. So two things today. One is applying the Ten Commandments. And the next thing, in applying the Ten Commandments in the New Covenant, I just want to give you a manual. I want to introduce a manual to you today. It's the book of 1 Peter. Peter is a guy, and so that's what you have the beginning of that book on. That's all that scripture that we gave to you that I scribbled all over, okay? That's the beginning of the book of 1 Peter, all right? That was me kind of, it gives you an idea. When I'm reading something, that wasn't my first read. That was my, 200th read or something. But when I'm reading something, I'll read it, go back over it, and go, what are the big ideas? So I've tried to scribble on your handout. That's not normal here, but I've defiled your handout with my own writing, my own thoughts, and you can take that and transpose it to whatever Bible that you have. All right? So let me introduce the book. We'll get as far as we get, and we'll call it good. Want the ability to come back next week, and we'll get as far as we get, and that'll probably be it. Because I got to get back to our what we're doing. I don't want to be. We've done a lot of political stuff. I've never done political stuff like this in my life. I mean, I've done here and there, but that's like never like this year. Okay. So anyway, let's get to it. We got to do something. I'm suggesting to you the manual for 2021, based on what I think are current evil trends, and there's some good trends too, and I probably ought to talk about those, but current trends that are against the 10, here's your manual. Here's what you do, all right? And so I just took I said to myself, okay, I got to do something, and that was not original with me. Other guys had said that before I came to that. Other people, what are we going to do? We got to do something. You know, I came in like pretty emotional on Wednesday morning with the guys group. I just let them know what's. I hit it for a little bit. Then when it's time for prayer, I just let them know what's going on, and go, man, I got to pull it together. This is some alarming stuff, and so again, different guys that morning and since then have said, you know, we got to do something. What are we going to do? So this is their title, and it's become my title. All right, so let's just dig into this. Peter's writing this thing, and I asked the question, okay, so is there a book in the Bible where government is trending in a evil direction regarding the 10? Does that book exist? I'm going, yeah. Now, which one are we going to do? We could be in this all year long. Got to choose one. So I just prayerfully chose 1 Peter. What's going on here? Peter is writing to some folks that are in a government, maybe two, but one mainly, that is trending in an evil direction. Nero is in charge in Rome, dominating this part of the world. This is written to people in and around Turkey, as we know it today, which you find in verse 1. And it's trending in an evil direction. This is about the time, the date's about 64, 65 A.D., so it's about 30, a little more than 30 years after Jesus was killed, and things are trending in a negative direction for society and for the negative stuff that happens to Christians in that society. Nero's on the throne, and it's about this time that Nero's going to burn Rome. You all remember that from elementary school or whenever you talked about that, right? Okay. You know, so again, and Christians are going to be blamed for that. And things are trending in a bad direction, all right? So I'm going, okay, this is a letter written to believers in a lot of different places throughout Turkey where things are just trending in a bad direction as far as the government goes, all right? And we can talk about the corrupt Jewish government that has some degree of control in various places to varying degrees, and certainly the Roman government that's trending, in a negative direction. All right, so that's the background, and let's get started. I'm going to skim most of it, but I'm going to draw your attention to what I think are key big ideas, emphasized points. All right, going to see, I'm hoping that if Peter hears this message, because I think they get Facebook and YouTube and all that stuff. I'm assuming the network's good enough that they're going to be, so I want to do Peter right. I want to do the Lord right, who's speaking through Peter, and I'm hoping this, I want to represent him well. By the way, this stuff isn't original with Peter. I'm just looking at this, I'm saying, Peter, Give me something new. He got all this stuff from Jesus. Okay? Peter walked with Jesus, and Jesus had like this huge impact on him. Like every idea, you can trace it back to the words of Jesus. All right? So when we do a study of Peter, we're going to be back and forth between Peter and the Gospels. But right now, I just got to skim through this thing, bring out the big ideas for 2021. All right? And our social condition, our social trends. All right. So verse 1, Peter's talking. And he's writing to aliens. You're an alien if you're a believer. Just saying. You're not from around here, and you don't fit, and it's okay. And let me say this as well. You know, some are so troubled that I represent the majority of America. How could we lose this? How could we lose that? You're an alien. You're an alien, okay? And things might not be trending politically where you want them to go, where I want them to go. We're aliens, and we're not guaranteed that parties are going to stay even as moral as they are now, or that the population is as well, all right? So we're aliens. We just got to have that mindset. But look, notice these five things. We're chosen, verse 1. Society can cancel you. Facebook can cancel you. Twitter can cancel you. And whatever's coming down the pike, and I don't know all that's coming down the pike on the social network, but you're going to see probably America trending more and more apart because we get on these social threads. And, you know, on my social thread that I spend only time on, this one social thread, there's like 10,000 people blogging and you know, and that's all of America. No, it's not. It's like a minute part of America. But we think it's all of America because we're stuck on these stupid little threads. And some of those threads are going to be banned from trending right now from the various social media platforms. So what happens, those who will be canceled from certain media platforms will, in the course of time, develop their own. And where things are trending right now is everybody's going to have, you know, if you search engine this, it's all going to come up conservative. If you go over this search, it's all going to come up liberal. And that's going to be that's where we're trending right now. Okay, so we'll see how far that goes. All right, or how long that takes to take place. So if you think things are divided now, I'm just saying, not a prophet, but I'm going, wow, you know. All right, so back to this. Gosh, I got to stick with the text. All right, verse 1 and following. Here's five things that we are. We got to know who we are. And this leads up to this important, one huge important word. And I just got to be honest with you. I think of myself as like really biblical, really spiritual, you know. And I always talk about, man, you got to get to know you got to own books of the Bible. Like I want you to own, I want all of us to own 1 Peter, you know, the entire book. I want you to think, you know, in this way. And even Wednesday morning, you know, it just hit me like a board, man. This is some serious stuff coming down the pike. And my first thought needed to be this word I'm fixing to bring up, but it wasn't. I got it wrong. And it wrecked everything. And so this might look light. I'm telling you, this is huge the way he starts out. So he starts out with verse 1, you're chosen. Believer, you're chosen. You're chosen. You're chosen. You're chosen. You're chosen. If you're a believer, you're chosen. Again, other people can cancel you. You're chosen by God to be in His kingdom forever and not ever as a second-rate citizen. That's huge. So you're chosen. Number 2, verse 3, He's caused you. He caused you. He, by great mercy, even you, even me, He caused us to be born again. He gave us life, spiritual life, that we now love Him and trust Him. It's His doing. We are given a living hope. How is it living? Because it's a person. It's Jesus Christ who was risen from the dead. Our hope is in Christ. We have a living hope. Everything for us is Jesus. It's always connected to him. So we're chosen. God causes us to be born again. We have a living hope. That's the Lord Jesus Christ that we're connected to forever. We have an inheritance. Next verse, verse 4, that is reserved forever. You say, well, what if I step away? You're, verse 5, you're protected by the power of God. No matter what happens in society. And so, if that's the case, what do we do with this first point? We rejoice greatly. Verse 8, we greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible. And that's one of the problems we have, Susanna Russ. Yeah, how do we just got these tongues, we just got these instruments. We're always struggling. How do we let out what God's working on the inside? We have a joy, and this is the frustration of the minute. We have a joy that's inexpressible. And that should be all of us. No matter how bad elections or trends or whatever is going, we start with a joy that's inexpressible. I just use the word worship, and that's your blank, all right? You can put in rejoice, that's fine, okay? But the word, I mean, what is it to rejoice? It's to worship. It's to have joy in the Lord. And that's the starting place. You say, how does that change society? How does that better America? Are you kidding me? That's the number one thing our neighbors need to see. Is people that are at peace with their God and have a joy that's inexpressible no matter what. Your work associates see that. Your enemies see that. Your neighbors see that. In the worst of times, they're going to want to know what's going on. That's how America's changed. Number one thing you can do to change America is help me and help yourself get your head screwed on straight. Go through these. You're chosen. You're born again. You have a living hope. You have an incredible inheritance, and you're protected by the power of God. Get your head. Get my head screwed on straight. The only response to that is a joy inexpressible. It's worship, and that's the number one thing, the most important thing to impact society, to change America. And he goes on in verses 10 through 12 to speak about how incredible this is. I'm not going to read that, but even the prophets wanted to know what was going to happen in this age, this New Testament age. Even the angels, according to this passage, excited about all the prophecies about Messiah and this age. Even the angels are on the edge of their seats going, what's going to happen? We're experiencing it. Life with Messiah. All right? So number one is worship. Verse 13, here's number 2. Therefore, gird your mind for action. What does that mean? We got to do something. But you got to get your head straight. I got to get my head straight. We got to get our head straight. Gird our minds for action, for doing something. This letter will guide us in what to do. But we got to get our head screwed on straight. What's the first step in besides worship? We got to keep sober in spirit. What does that mean? We got to wake up and not live slap happy. And not live like we don't give a rip about the rest of society. I'm good. I'm going to be fine. That's not the point. We're beyond that as believers. It's about our neighbors. It's about the neighbors' grandkids. Got to get our heads up. Got to sober up. Got to wake up. Got to be alert. Got to fix our hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus is coming back again. He's setting up a perfect kingdom. Got to fix our hope completely on that. And back in chapter 1, and I skipped this, and I shouldn't have. Verse 6 of chapter 1. We greatly rejoice, even though for a little while, if necessary, a little while means only this lifetime, if necessary means it's necessary, we have been distressed. Anybody here distressed? By various trials. Anybody here feeling that? Okay, that's when we greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible. What's God up to? Why is God allowing it? Verse 7, one of the reasons is that the testing or the proof of your faith, doesn't mean proving that you have faith. It's the testing of your faith. He goes on to illustrate it. Take gold, melt it down, skim off the dross off the top. You know, just keep doing that process to purify the gold. What does God want to do? He wants to purify our faith. What's the problem? As Americans, this is me. My faith is in God. But honestly, it's in my bank account. It's in my government. I've grown used to it. And so let's just take government. Maybe God's wanting to purify our faith, that our faith would be purely in the Lord and not in government. It's a thought for you. And so that brings up this point. I lost my mind. Mind is a terrible thing to waste. Here is the word hope, which is faith in God's promises in the future. Fix your hope. What's that word? Completely on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus comes back again. Completely. Our hope is not in government. It's in Christ. Now, we do what we can with government, with society, but ultimately our hope, our joy, everything comes from Christ. Verse 14, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts, which were yours in your ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, here's the second thing we do. Number one is worship or rejoice. Number two, verse 15, like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves in all your behavior. We got to do something. Whatever we do, it's got to be holy. Because it is written, you will be holy for I am holy. God's saying, I want you to be like me. I'm your dad. I'm your king. You represent me. I want you to be like me. And so number two, be holy. It's not a word that we, in the church we use it, but because it's in the Bible, but we don't commonly use it in society, or when we do, it's got all kinds of negative connotation, like a holy man is a guy that's just always in a robe and walks slow, and yeah, that's a holy guy. And nothing's further from the truth. Holy is the word set apart. We've been called, and we're set apart for an incredible life of excitement and ministry and morality with our God. That's what it is to be holy. It's to be set apart. He's chosen you. He set you, but he set us apart for a life of ministry and morality. We're holy. That's what holy means. It should have every positive connotation. In other words, we're set apart to do what? To represent heaven. And there's your word, if you're looking for the blank. We represent heaven. And so we're set apart for his kingdom. And the way you judge it is, if I shouldn't think or say or do or have this attitude in heaven, then I shouldn't say, think, or do it here. Okay? And as many pundits, politicians, and preachers, and prophets that claim to walk with God and their life is anything but holy, they're not representing the 10 very well. Their attitude is prideful and cocky. Don't follow them. This will give you the right attitude. This will help you identify people you're to listen to and people to follow. Okay? So we live holy. We look up to holy leaders as well. And people that are set apart, they know they're set apart for representing life in heaven. And life in heaven is a joyous life. We've talked about it. Huge joy in heaven. Verse 17. If you address as Father, and we do, you know, our Lord's Prayer, Jesus said, when you pray, pray our Father. We address him first as Father, who impartially judges according to each man's work, not groups of people, not affiliations, each man's work. Now, I just want to say this. If we have a Father, and he wants us to be set apart to be like him and to represent him on the planet, and he's impartially judging, we need to as well. We're referees. Don't represent Republicans, Democrats, or anybody else. We're referees, calling good, good, bad, bad, impartially. And I need to say this. If you're stuck, I mentioned media threads a moment ago. If you're stuck in, like, your media thread, and you're not, you know, aware that your little tiny group doesn't represent all of America, you got to wake up. And that's going to be more and more the trend. Or your network, your news network, or whatever it is, okay? Got to be careful that because now we become impartial and we're duped by these people that seem kind of Christian and kind of moral and, you know, all of that. Got to be careful with that stuff. And it's according to each man's work. We've all done this. We judge a group by the fringe. And that's true for the left, and that's true for the right. Okay? The people on the right don't want to be judged by the fringe that are going nuts, rioting, and whatever. I can tell you, people on the left, they don't want to be judged by their fringe either, that are rioting and going nuts. Okay? Got to dial it in. We got to be really, really careful. Now, I'm going to say this. When it comes to leaders, leaders have a big responsibility. And if this church did something, some of you in this church did something, I got to call it what it is publicly. If it's a public issue, I got to call it, you know, I'm loyal to you, but I'm going to call good good and bad bad. And if I'm part of the Republican Party and some are screwing up in some way, I'm going to come out and I'm going to say it. That's wrong. That's evil. If I'm part of the Liberal Party, the Conservative Party, the Liberal Party, and something happens and it's evil, you got to come out and say it. You got to condemn it because people are listening. Your people are listening to you. So I'm going to say you can judge leaders by how they analyze the fringe. All right? That's in the church. That's in political parties. But just because there's a group and a fringe does something that's nuts, don't judge the entire group that way, conservative or liberal. All right? So we judge versus, we're like our father, verse 17, we judge impartially according to each man's work, each party's work, each idea's work, whatever it is. Conduct yourselves in fear. We fear God and God alone. Every action that we do, fear means there's a deep reverence for our God. We represent Him. We don't follow what our pundits and news people and whoever are, that we don't follow their attitudes or their ideas. Take them in, but we live in fear, a deep reverence before God. We represent heaven. We're going to be different than probably every pundit and politician that you listen to. Probably. Or almost all of them. Okay? We're going to be different. Be okay with that. We live with a deep reverence for God during the time of your stay on the earth. Well worded, Peter. Short stay. We're just visiting. We're just visiting. But we want to do good while we're here. And then verse 18, we're going to take the Lord's Supper in after the life groups today, and we'll look at verse. We're gonna focus on verse 18 and 19 during that time. But what that's talking about is no. You know what? Let's just do that right now. This is a good place to close because I have mentioned a few of the major egregious sins, and not all sins are the same. We've been through that. There's some that are way more sinful and egregious than others. Any sin will send us to hell, though, because any sin breaks the entire plane of glass of the Ten Commandments and the other commandments. But there's some that are way more egregious than others. That's just a super plain in the Bible, so I don't have time to go through that right now. But if you're here, I mentioned, for example, abortion. Very emotional topic. And if you're here today, or if you're watching, and you've stayed tuned this long, you know, you're going, that's not fair. I'm just trying to get over abortion. Now you're just making it worse listen, I love you. Abortion is first degree murder. It's premeditated first degree murder. Jesus says, if you confess your sins, I am faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. If I had the opportunity before I trusted Christ and understood Scripture, I would be party to as many abortions as I needed to have, needed for my partner to have. I didn't have any issue with it. Now I do, because I'm enlightened by Scripture. And so it's a heinous crime. It's murder. It's first degree murder. But there's total forgiveness. And that's what this passage is. And so I'm going to close with this passage. Knowing, this is verse 18, that you were not redeemed with perishable things. It just wasn't religious acts like silver and gold from your futile way of life, a way of life that doesn't go anywhere eternally. Futile. inherited from your forefathers. You learn it from your dads. But you were redeemed, verse 19, we're closing here, with the precious blood as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. We're talking about a life that is absolutely perfect, who never sinned. He's the perfect, spotless Lamb of God and the all-powerful Lamb of God. And he came to this planet 2,000 years ago. And he knew every sin, no matter how heinous, that you and I would ever commit, including abortion. He knew. He doesn't whitewash it. He doesn't justify it. He wants you and I to call it what it is. Every sin, call it what it is. A little white lie is a horrible thing. It's a lie. You're deceiving. You're lying to God and to others. It's horrible. And you just go down a list of the 10 and all the commandments that come from that. So sin is horrific, and we got to see it that way. But we got to see the blood of Christ as forgiving us from every sin, every act of rebellion and disobedience we've ever committed. All of it. We can know forgiveness. We can know total peace with God. Right now, today, it can, whatever it is, can be the past. Because you're redeemed, that means bought back. You sold yourself, I sold myself, we sold ourselves into sin. We're bought back with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Whatever you've done, whatever I've done, paid for by the blood. That means the life of God in humanness. Let's reckon with that right now. Father, thank you for your grace. We give you thanks for the peace and privilege to be able to call things in our lives and in society and in nations what they are. Help us to not support any political party or politician and embellish the good and hide the bad, and so deceive others. So that's wrong. It's wrong. Help us to see our lives and in every public idea and figure through the lens of your word, specifically the 10. And as you identify through the 10, rebellion in our lives, either the distant past or this morning, disrespect to somebody on the road, a horrific thing. Thank you for total forgiveness. Thank you for total forgiveness because right now, Jesus, I'm trusting you as my Savior and Lord. You shed your precious life, your precious blood for me. You died in my place. You rose again. What you did is sufficient for total forgiveness of everything I've ever done and will do. And so I'm able to call things what they are, but have total peace and total warmth and love from your heart forever and forever. And my sins and my lawless deeds you'll never bring up again when we see you face to face and for all of eternity, according to your promise, your covenant. And so thank you for grace. Thank you for loving me and dying for me. I trust you. I am trusting you. Now guide me just to, for the first time in my life, to be truly a person of light, honest, open, a referee of heaven, and a reconciler of heaven. God bless each one of you. God bless each one of you. God make you a blessing.